Welcome to the Keystone Project Podcast, a place where we discuss kingdom stories, core values, and the Great Commission.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the Keystone Project Podcast. My name is Charlie Green, and I'm here with guest host today, Amy Green, my sister.
Hey, everybody.
Also here with the newest board member to the Keystone Project, Darla Provencial, and she's going to be sharing her story with us today. So super excited to have you on the show with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I've known Darla for several years. We've done a lot of ministry together. She has a very beautiful heart, so I'm excited to be here with you today, Darla. And we just want you to tell us a little bit about your backstory as a Native American Lakota woman. We just want to know your story and how you met the Lord, and we'll go from there.
Okay. So I am an enrolled member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, one of the 9 reservations in South Dakota. My mother was from Cheyenne River, and her and my dad worked for a farmer in Vail, South Dakota. And we grew up with the usual kind of lifestyle that most Native children grow up with. There was a lot of alcohol and drugs, or not necessarily drugs, but alcohol and domestic violence, things like that, that we grew up with, poverty, those kind of things. And eventually, when I was about 8 years old, my mom and dad split up. So we ended up going with my mom. And and eventually, a couple of years down the road, we went into foster care, me and my younger brothers. So I ended up going and growing up in boarding school mostly, and some foster care, some foster homes. And that was my life until I was 16. I was emancipated, so I was a legal adult at 16. And I finished high school. I got my GED, and just kind of lived kind of a life of survival. And I really wanted to find purpose and meaning in my life at that time as a young adult. But I didn't have any guidance or direction from any of the people that I was around. Eventually, when I was 20, I moved back to Pierre, and I ended up getting into a relationship, and I had my first child when I was 20, and I just wanted something better, something different for my daughter, for my family, and people came along that lived in Pierre. They were a part of the Wesleyan Native American Ministries. And they came and they passed out some flyers that said that they were having a singing group that was coming to their church to sing in Dakota, some Dakota hymns. So I was curious and went to go find out what that was about. And I went to church, and that was the first time I had heard of the gospel, what Jesus came and was born for.
Wow.
And so that Sunday, my first Sunday there, the Lord got a hold of me, and I was very, I had a very dramatic encounter with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. And I went up to the altar and I gave my life to the Lord, and my life was just completely changed. After that, I did not miss a day of church. Every time church was open, I was there. And my whole life has just been a process of questions of questions of why I went through the things I went through in my childhood, of why our people suffered the way that they do. Even after coming to the Lord, there wasn't any real knowledge of spiritual warfare, but I knew as a Native person that there was a spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I got saved, the battle began, the spiritual battle began, and I didn't, there was nothing in the Bible that told, I didn't understand like how to fight it. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand like what to do about certain things that were going on in my home, in my neighborhood. And, there was just no spiritual knowledge. So I, that was kind of my life mission from then on, was to find out how to be more effective spiritually in the spiritual realm. And so from then on, I just grew in my relationship with the Lord. We were installed as pastors when we were like 27 years old of the church there. In the process, there was a lot of other things that happened, but eventually we moved to Rapid City in 1996 because our Christian school closed down, and I wanted my kids to finish their schooling in a Christian school. So we moved to Rapid City, and a bunch of stuff happened there. We ended up, I met a lady that was really a strong prayer warrior, and we started to see, she had an anointing to reach the children, the native children in Rapid City and North Rapid. And she was an evangelist, so she could just drive up the street and she'd see native children. She'd say, "Hey, you want to go to a Bible study?" And they would say, "Yeah." So she'd have them get in her old big old van, and she would take them to her house and do Bible studies with them. Mm-hmm. And we just started seeing the Lord really do a lot during that time. And eventually she ended up with a whole bunch of native kids and no help. I was her help, but then she didn't have any help from anybody else. We try to get the churches to help. We would take the kids into churches because they were excited about the growth and the movement that we were starting to have, and so they wanted to be a part of that. But once we took the kids into their churches, they didn't want any part of it. They were "You guys are messing up our church."
Oh no!
And things like that. So eventually that came all crashing down, and it just wasn't in God's timing yet. And I ended up experiencing a lot of church hurt from that. I kind of turned my back on the whole church world because I was going through a divorce and just different things. And it was really a painful time in my life. And so I kind of turned away from all of that, the whole church thing, for maybe like 4 years or something. And eventually, our old pastor's wife, she never gave up on me. Mostly everyone else in the church did, but she would come and she would bring banana bread to my door and leave it there. Oh, and she would come to the salon and still see me because I was a hairstylist still during that time. And eventually she would just say, "You should just come back to church." So I said, "Okay, I'll come and I'll sit in the way back." So that's kind of what I did. I kind of came back to church, but I never wanted to fully get involved like I was before. I was really questioning a lot of things. And during that time, as we came back to the Lord, I ended up getting remarried, and we started having a Bible study in our house. Like we would just get together every week. We'd have a meal, and then we would read the Bible. But we really needed a Bible teacher, somebody to teach us the Bible. Like I really, really wanted that. And so we just did what we could. I knew how to pray. So I taught the kids how to pray over one another. We would pray together as a family with our immediate family and some relatives and whoever else, my kids' friends that would come over and stuff. I taught them how to pray over each other, and I fed all the kids. And during that time, we were reading through the Bible, and we read Isaiah 60. And that whole scripture, that whole book, is about God's restoration of Israel. When I read, when I finished reading that chapter, the Lord said, "That is what I'm going to do in Rapid City." And I was like, "What?" You know, because the whole thing was just so overwhelmingly like God's blessing upon these people that were despised and everything, his restoration to them. And I was overwhelmed, and I said, "Lord, how are you going to do that? That just seems impossible." And at the end, it says, "A little one will become a thousand." Like, it was just like this. He just showed me this big picture of what he was going to do in Rapid City. And I couldn't understand how he could do that. So the only thing I could think of was, we need to start praying and fasting. So I told my family, and I said, we need to fast, because I just felt like this, I just got this picture of what God was going to do, and it was going to be a great and mighty thing in Rapid City. Hmm. And in my mind, I thought like it was impossible, but I knew that if we could fast and pray, that God would show us and he would show us what he was going to do. Hmm. And so it started off with all of us fasting, and then it turned out to be just me fasting. And then a bunch of things happened and time went on, and I didn't realize that it had been 10 years since I'd started fasting every Monday. And
wow!
And a bunch of stuff happened during that time. I ended up going through divorce again, and I moved to Missouri, me and my family. And I went through some healing there and just some things that I worked out between me and God. And then we moved back to Rapid City, and I was still fasting. And that was just a part of my life, and my kids knew it, my grandkids knew it. And one day, and I was back to Rapid, and I was back to doing hair and stuff and just living. I was living and working and helping take care of my grandkids and things like that. But I was really, my heart was to do ministry. But I just didn't, I couldn't find it. Like I would go to church, I'd go to all the community events, whatever was mm-hmm. going on. I was a part of that, but I couldn't find the Lord or a purpose or what exactly he wanted me to do. So, I had a day off in 2018. I was washing dishes and the Lord came up to me or the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're done fasting. And I was so confused. I looked and I was like, was that God? Or what was that? I did not understand how God could tell me not to fast because I was just so used to
Fasting's like, you know, everybody, you always have to fast.
Yeah.
You don't stop fasting, right?
Right. Yeah. So I was really confused by that. And I told my son, Josh, I said, Josh, the Lord just told me I'm done fasting. I was so confused by why he would tell me that.
Yeah.
And I did not know. So that was 2018. And one day I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw this video that this pastor from Omaha, Nebraska posted, and it was about this place, the Keystone Project. And he said, and this was a native pastor, he said, if you are a native leader and if you want to see a transformation come to the people and if you want to learn how to disciple people, you need to come to this training. And he said, there's a Native American training coming in December. So he said, sign up and come. And he gave Dave Palmer's phone number on there. And I didn't know him at that time.
Yeah.
So I forgot about it. Of course, I was still busy. I was working and it was Christmas season. So I was really busy doing hair and I had all my clients and things like that. And one night the Lord woke me up and he said, you need to go get signed up for that training.
Wow.
And I tossed and turned all night. I was like, Lord, I can't figure out how I'm going to get time off. I just had a week off and I had gone up to Washington to do a prayer conference or gathering up there. And so I was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to get off and go to this conference for 3 days. I thought it was 3 days. I don't know, it was a week.
Yeah.
So I tossed and turned and I was like, the only thing I could think of, Lord, is if I break my hand, I can not get out of doing hair. I literally broke my hand the next day. And I was just like,
your hand, you broke yeah, it the next day.
Yep. And so the first thing that came to my mind was, I can go to that conference. I was so excited. I didn't even think it was broken because it wasn't that bad. Like the swelling was minimal. The pain was minimal. So I didn't even think it was broken. But my son was like, Mom, your hand looks broken. You need to go to the doctor and get it checked out.
Wow.
And I went to the ER and sure enough, it was broken. And so when I first came to the first training, it was broken. Mm-hmm. But so after that, I got a hold of that number. I had to go back and find that post. And I called Dave and I told him that there was a friend and I and my son, we wanted to come to the training. And he was like, we're full. He said, I'm sorry, but we're full. I said, well, we live in Rapid City. We could just come, you know, drive.
Yeah.
And be a part of the, you know, we don't have to stay in the hotel. And so he said, well, let me give you, I'll call you back. So I didn't even think I'd hear from him. And then a couple of days later, my phone rang and it was him. And he said, great news. He said, we had some people drop out. So we have room for you guys. So we came and I had a purple cast on and I took notes like front and back on my notebook.
Yeah, yeah.
But we came and I was completely blown away by the teachings because it was everything that I had been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried like every message. I was just, I sat in the way front too and I was just bawling every time there was a, he got done with a message. I was just getting visions and dreams and everything when I came here. And it was just so powerful and life-changing for me. And it was a complete paradigm shift from everything that I had been taught in the world, in the Christian world. Everything that I went through, all the questions I had about why be more effective in the church.
Yeah.
Why the Spirit of God wasn't moving, just everything. I was just getting so much downloads. And during that 2-week training, as I sat there, I was like, I can do this. And I remember when he put the call out and the scripture up there, and he said, I just need one person in here, one person to do this. And I knew that the Lord was calling me, and I was sitting there just in tears, knowing mm-hmm. that I was trying to figure out, okay, am I ready to let everything go? Am I ready to let, I was raising my 2 oldest grandchildren, and I knew that I'd have to give them back to their moms, and I knew that I would have to come and make myself completely free. I'd have to quit my job, mm-hmm. give up my apartment, and thank God my car was paid for, so I didn't have to worry about that. But I was in the process of trying to figure everything out. Okay, I can do all this and I can come back for the month long. Because I was like, if I come back for the month long, I can completely get this and, mm-hmm. you know, take it at a slower pace and really absorb it and learn it. Because I knew it was true and it was what our people needed. If we could put it into practice, it would work. I knew that.
So. Yeah, the 5-day training, like the week long one, there's so many lessons that have to get combined.
Yeah.
Like, there's like 3 lessons at times that will get combined into one.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't really get to hear like everything, you know, in the fullness of some of those lessons. And so the month long is definitely super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I came back for the month long and I really did learn a lot, and it was more of a slower pace so I could absorb it.
Yeah.
Better. But I knew that the answers were there. When I came back for the month long, Richard was telling the story about the guys from Africa that were fasting and praying for a teacher. And
oh yeah,
and he told them to go to Jerusalem. Was it Jerusalem?
Jerusalem, yeah.
And that he would meet his teacher there.
Yeah.
Richard was telling that story, and I remember sitting. I wanted to sit in the way back the second time because I wanted to watch how this teaching affected everyone. So I was watching from the way back, and when he told that story, the Lord said, I answered your prayer too. And all of a sudden, like all of the years I had fasted, everything just like came into this revelation of this is what I was fasting for, and I did not know.
Oh, wow.
Until that moment.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And I just wept. I just started weeping. And I was like, wow, Lord, this is the teacher you sent us. This is the teacher I was fasting and praying for. So I was like completely overwhelmed emotionally. So, so from then on, I came back for every training. I came back as a co-coach first, and I started co-coaching, and then I started coaching, and then I started also during that process. I think it was after the month long, the first month long I came to, we had a young family of Native young people that came here. And Richard asked if we could stay, my son Josh and I could stay and help disciple them. So I stayed, I think for a month until the next training. And Amy and I and Josh and another young couple that was here, we were able to stay and disciple those young people. And mm-hmm. during that time, I realized now that it was just God used that as a way for me to stay here so that we can get some land work done. So we started the process of doing the land work in the strongholds here in the Black Hills, but taking first the high place, which was the Black Oaks Peak.
Yeah.
So it was a long process of getting all the different areas in the Black Hills prayed over.
And when you're talking about land work, it's like tearing down strongholds. Just for people who don't know, it's like tearing down strongholds and really doing a lot of prayer walking and seeing in the spirit what God is doing, and so that we can redeem the land, right?
Exactly.
So yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could go back just to the moment when you gave your life to the Lord, it kind of blows me away that in the United States, inside of the church, we kind of have this idea in the United States, everybody knows about Jesus. They've just made a decision whether or not they want to follow him.
Right.
But you're 20 years old and you haven't heard the gospel. Did you hear about Jesus up to that point?
A little bit.
Okay.
I was in boarding school when I was a child. I remember they had us like praying on our knees in the hallway. But that was, I think, of like a Catholic
sure.
background.
So it was just kind of like this tradition. Like you're probably looking at it from more like, oh, this is like just a ritual type tradition.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you didn't really know who Jesus was, what he had done.
No.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
Right. And I'm grateful that the first time I heard about him was the truth of why he came and what he came for to save us from our sins.
Yeah.
And I knew, even though I didn't know about sin or anything like that, I knew that I was a sinful person.
Wow.
And that I needed a savior. So when I was sitting there listening to that message, I remember just shaking. I remember my heart pounding and saying, oh my gosh, this is what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
My whole life. This is what I need.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I'll just wait till next time. I was really afraid. Like I didn't want to go up in front of a whole church
full
of people and make a spectacle of myself.
Yeah.
But the next thing I know, I swear it was angels of God that just came and picked me up out of my seat. The next thing I knew, I was walking down the aisle toward the front, toward the pew toward the altar. And that's where the pastor just looked at me like, can I help you? And I was like, and I just fell on my knees and just gave my life to the Lord. It was a very powerful moment for me.
Well, that's so cool. You know, and I think just, it's good for people to know there are still people in this country that don't know Jesus, that have not maybe even heard of Jesus, and they need Jesus. You know, there's still people here, especially, you know, on the reservations, you know, they need Jesus. We need to reach them. And, we're super thankful that you're part of the Keystone Project, because we know that you're going to be a huge catalyst and a huge help in reaching your people, you know, and so we're really excited about that. And we know God's going to do it. He's going to do it. So, yeah.
So, Darla, do you have any words of encouragement for anyone listening that might be working among Native Americans?
I know that when you're in Native ministry, that it is like one of the hardest things spiritually. You're battling not only being lonely, being isolated sometimes on reservations, being by yourself, not having much help, and facing a lot of spiritual opposition, not just from what you go through as a pastor or a ministry worker, but just battle spiritually, like that you're getting attacked spiritually on the land and from things that are unseen. The Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. But I guess my words of encouragement would be that we are on the cusp of change. We have those that have served the Lord and have been in Native ministry for a long time, we have been fighting spiritually for a long time. We've been praying on the land. We've been crying out for the Native people. We've been fasting and praying and battling for many, many years. And I know that things are about to change.
Yes.
And there's been so many prophecies everywhere that you could think of. Everyone has gotten a prophecy about the Native people.
Mm-hmm.
And them turning the nation back to God. So
awesome.
I know that that's coming. So
that's great.
Excited.
And I just want to encourage anybody that's listening to, you can pray into this and be a part of it just through prayer. You know, we need to bathe it in prayer so that God, we can see God glorified in all of this. So, well, we just thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to hear your story, and you have a powerful testimony. And like I said, I know that God's going to use you in an amazing way, and this is just the beginning. Amen. So we are excited for the coming days of what God's going to do with you. And I just want to end with this quote from one of your favorite missionaries, Derek Prince. And he said this: "Praying your kingdom come means a commitment to being aligned with everything involved in the coming of the kingdom."
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you want to know more about the Keystone Project and how you can support our ministry or launch disciple-making movements in the nations, go to keystoneproject.org or find us on all the major social media platforms.